Hey everyone, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I am Timothy Styles, and with me is professional wrestler, cutthroat Cody Hancock.
Yo, buddy.
How are you?
I'm well today. Today was a good day. I've been lifting. I'm back lifting heavy in the gym. I finally feel good after a pretty big lull period. And I'm pushing weight again and got a little bit in-ring stuff in before I came down with you with Damian Drake.
Mm-hmm. He's a young kid.
Yes, sir. And he is developing a new moveset. So we've been working on some martial arts stuff for him.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
that's actually pretty nice. You know, it's tough. Don't worry, folks. I'll finish the intro eventually. Yeah. It's tough, you know, starting something when you're very, very young.
Yes.
Like, you know, you see it all the time, people's PlayStation names. It's like Dick Fart 69.
420.
Yeah.
It's 666. Like,
and it's like, oh my God. And Dick that guy's Fart. Probably, you know, 29 now. And he's like, I wish I could change my name. You know, professional wrestling. If you're 16, we'll say, you know, by the time you hit 21, it's like, You're definitely not the same person you were when you were 16.
I feel like we can go. This is
all right. Let me finish.
We can open. Yeah.
All right. Let me finish the intro and then we'll get into it, folks. If you'd like to support our super rad show, a good way to do it is by going to turnbuckleboogie.com, clicking on the gimmick table,
brother,
and get to yourself a Turnbuckle Boogie T-shirt.
There's more floating around in the wild.
Yeah, they're totally dope, too.
Yeah, man.
I hear that they raise your charisma stat +2.
It's +3 for me.
Bitches are passing out left and right. And if you're a lady and wearing one of these, watch out. Boner City. But everyone will ask for your consent because you're wearing a turnbuckle. Anyway, this is fucking stupid salesmanship. Let's boogie!
I can hear the music in my head every time. So let's talk about names and people's really bad ideas when they first start wrestling.
Well, you started out as Crash Test Cody.
I did not start out as Crash Test Cody.
Oh.
Fun fact, I started out as Doctrine Darko.
Right, from inspired by the Donnie Darko movie.
And a character from Street Fighter EX plus Alpha.
Oh, he was...
Whose name was Doctrine Dark.
Right.
Yes. And that was my gamer tag. And it's still my gamer tag.
Right.
Embarrassingly. And obviously, I don't play a lot of online games. So
it's not a bad name.
Pressure. It's not necessarily a bad name, but it was just a name and it didn't have anything behind it.
Right. I say it's not a bad name. It's not a bad name, and it's also a bad name.
Yes, at the same time.
You know what I mean? It's like you see some of these NXT recruits, and it's like, you know, Jablomi Sandler. Like, who picked this name?
Well, I remember we had, shout out Vincent Impact Pride, because I feel like this is the second time that I've talked about him. He was a part of the Future Stars of Wrestling kids class. And he ended up graduating from the kids class into the adult classes.
Right.
And he started around the age, I believe, of 15, 16 years old. And his gamer tag was LV Hunter. And I remember his parents actually got him a vehicle.
Sounds like a sex predator.
Yeah. Hey, he was a smooth looking dude. And he's even smoother now. My man's in killer shape.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Of course. It's the free candy, too. So he had this
car. Hey, I need
car.
Help moving my couch in my van.
Yeah.
You back in.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
And it puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again.
So Vincent Impact Pride, his parents got him a vehicle, which was very nice of them, so he can get to and from. And they got him the vanity plate of LV Hunter. And then I remember talking to him and when he started coming to the advanced classes, I'm like, well, what's your wrestling name? LV Hunter. And I told him, that's not a wrestling name. That's a gamer tag.
Right.
And like his eyes just got really big.
Yeah. Because I got caught.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I, once again, I've been in that situation before.
Right.
And then
there was no adult around to stop you when you went, I'm Doctrine Darko. Like there was no adult to go like, well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. No, there was people that actually, there was like a week that I looked like Jake Gyllenhaal. And I loved the movie Donnie Darko, so I ran with it.
I had one year where I looked exactly like Christian Bale. Like, you couldn't tell the difference between the two of us.
Handsome man.
Now, things have gone completely awry since then.
Just go back through that McDonald's drive-thru like you told me about a while back and have that lady tell you you're handsome when you're getting your coffee in the morning.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was putting the moves on your old buddy T.
There it is. There it is. Got to swat him away with a fly swatter. But, and that's the thing, too, like, since we're talking about this, a lot of people have this big idea of what they're going to be when they enter wrestling.
Yeah.
And then they oftentimes discover that what they thought is not what actually becomes who they are.
You know, as somebody who participated in a comedy backyard wrestling league.
The Asshole Wrestling Alliance.
The Asshole Wrestling Alliance. I might have had one of the, because there needed to be, as much as it was a comedy, the main event had to have a serious bad guy in it.
Yes, of course.
And I was going to take on that role. So I took on the role of Billy Michael Face, BMF, get it, wink, wink.
Oh.
And I was, but I was essentially Stone Cold and I came out to Korn, you know.
What Korn song? What Korn song?
What is it? Adidas?
Yes.
The one that starts.
All Day I Dream About Sex.
But the one that's like, da-na-na-na. But the intro.
Wait, no, that's Blind.
Blind, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, so Blind
was dope.
But the problem is that great intro, it's like fucking 2 minutes of that buildup. So I had to stand there for 2 minutes, go, I regret picking this stupid fucking song. And are you ready?
And that's a whole entire another topic. Like the people that think, yeah, I'm going to come out to this badass song. And then when you realize for... I'm gonna clue y'all in on a little secret, okay?
Mm.
When you start working for actual wrestling promotions, your time given to you in your match starts the second your fucking music hits.
Right.
So if you are given 6 minutes, and if your intro song is 45 seconds long, you are cutting out of your ring time.
Right. But yeah, like, so doing this comedy thing, you know, I came out as BMF. Billy Face, it's absurd.
Yes.
You know, obviously looking back at it. And I'm sure a lot of people get into it. They play the video games growing up and you get to make your own character. And it's like, oh, I want to have this name and I want to dress like this with the kick pads and matching elbow pads and all this dumb shit. And then you get there and it's like, oh, I can't afford fucking wrestling shoes. And my name's Dilbert or whatever.
And another cardinal sin is save your money, kids, because if you are wearing kick pads because they're a cheaper option and if you don't throw kicks, you are going to look like a dummy.
Yeah, if there's any adults like me in the audience, hey, kick that guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I'll start barking out orders. Whatever you got on,
yeah,
I'll start giving you moves.
Yeah.
If you're wearing knee pads, but you never fucking take any knee impacts,
yep,
I'll start calling them out.
Yes, sir.
I'll start throwing out button combinations. Hey, square, X, triangle, right button, right bumper.
There was a match that actually happened not that long ago that was between a gentleman named Kid Bandit and Jody the Wrestler, where they were being controlled by other wrestlers on the outside with controllers.
Mm.
And it was a funny haha thing, man. It was a lot of fun to watch.
There you go. I don't know what to say about it.
Well, regardless, today is about patriotism.
Kinda. I wasn't ready to move on, but let's get into it.
No, keep going, man. Like, what do we got?
Well, no, look, you've already called it, so here we go.
I had a lot of caffeine.
So last week's episode was sort of an anything goes episode. We spent a lot of time talking about control your narrative, which I put off forever because, I mean, it was so head-scratching. I was like, well, I need more information, but it seems like information trickles out at such a slow snail's pace that it's like, all right,
EC3 did do an interview with Chris Van Vliet where he kind of explains himself in very big words.
I'm sure that he does. Either way, we already did our episode, and I'm not going to rehash it. But because it was sort of an anything goes episode, anyone who pays attention to the names of our shows knows that if sometimes there's a show that's like just about a bunch of wacky stuff, I'll name it after, you know, the episode who something wacky. And yep. Last week we went with Sergeant Slaughter's chin, which, by the way, it's going to make for an interesting Boogie Mania too.
Oh my goodness.
Which we're only 5 weeks away from, by the way.
Yeah, man.
So, cause we're going to possibly see a match, you know, we already know the results of Sergeant Slaughter's chin and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That happened back in like 1996 or whatever.
Yes, sir.
And that devastating stunner. Do you remember seeing that?
Oh yeah.
Those early stunners, when he would give them Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Ross. I mean, there was a whole slew of guys that they didn't go down to their knees.
Right.
To kind of brace and protect themselves. They went horizontal.
Yep.
And landed on their chin and throat. I mean, I'm surprised some of them are still alive.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, you know, I made the decision, like, we're going to call that episode Sergeant Slaughter's Chin. But next week, we should just do Sergeant Slaughter, because he's been on my list of people to talk about anyway, because he opens the door to talk about the history of patriotism and xenophobia in the industry, you know.
What used to be rampant. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Professional wrestling is a microcosm of whatever is going on in the world. You know, it's always been that way.
Yep.
Whatever the sentiment is in the world, this industry will reflect it.
Yes.
And there is obviously pretty rotten stuff going on before Vince McMahon came along and put a bow on it. You know, he can't
that's a good way of putting it.
He can't be blamed for everything. Anytime I hear like, oh, he had Kamala out there, this racist character, it's like, actually, that was created by Jerry Lawler back in Memphis.
Right.
So you can't blame everything on Vince McMahon. It's kind of not fair.
Yes.
But, you know, one of those things is what I'll call turbo patriotism.
Turbo patriotism.
And I got to tell you, and maybe today's episode might be interesting because I am a veteran.
Yeah.
So I can speak on a lot of this stuff.
Thank you for your service.
God damn it. That leads me into, well, a little bit about me. So when I graduated high school, I went into the Army. I was a paratrooper. I jumped out of airplanes for a decent living. And I got to tell you, I hate it when people go, thank you for your service. No one thanked me while I was in, by the way. No one stopped me when I was going through the airport, my BDUs, and going, hey, brother, thanks.
Kind of seems kind of shitty, right?
Not really.
I'm joking.
You know what it was? You know what I wish would have happened? The only thing I wish would have went down is if, you know, I was on an airplane and someone went, hey, I got a fucking rad seat. Why don't you sit in it? Oh, that would have been great.
But hell yeah.
That never happened.
Nobody bought your food for you?
Fuck no. But now, years later, there's this sort of over-sentimentality about, you know, thank you for your service. You got to thank every fucking soldier. And I always say the same thing. You don't need to thank me. I was just a fucking knucklehead high school student who wanted to get out of the ghetto and better my life. I did not serve in any wars. I'm fine. That's why I don't like that.
And now, I will say that your life is pretty awesome.
Well, I don't like getting credit or being appreciated for things that aren't really accomplishments. I did not do anything worthy of a thanks. I technically benefited when I was able to buy a house with a down payment for a dollar. That's the VA benefits. I spent today and yesterday at the VA getting lab work, x-rays on my left knee, which I'm finally going about looking into because I put it off for years.
It's time.
Yeah, so I'm benefiting from my military service, but this leads me into the professional wrestling side of things. I really have a distaste for turbo patriotism.
So you're not a fan of the USA chant?
No, not particularly. Because
one of my first goals in wrestling was to get a USA chant, by the way. Sorry.
It's pretty easy to do. All you gotta do is come out with an American flag and have the other guy come out with a named Hiroshima Nagasaki and with a Japan flag on. And
I was wrestling a guy named Brad Lindsby. Mm-hmm. And
where's he from?
He was from Utah, and he was not Canadian, but he had a Canadian gimmick. And that was all that it took. And
Canadians and people from Utah, pretty close.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, they must put mayonnaise on everything.
True statement. But no, it was very easy to get a USA chant. And I'm like, I finally made it.
Right.
This is professional wrestling. And I do want to say thank you for not, I've met my grandfather was in the military.
Right.
He was a mission ordnance disposal. And he was in Vietnam. Like, he was, like, in the grunt of shit and things like that. And he was a really good person. He installed a lot of really strong values in me. The reason why I'm on time to almost everything, with the exception of today.
Military time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're on time, you're late.
If you're 15 minutes, you're on time.
Yep.
If you're on time, you're late. Yeah, that's pretty standard.
And, you know, I learned a lot of really important life lessons about discipline and respect through my grandfather.
Right.
And
it's a great, I said it for years, you know, when I came home after, you know, doing my time, a lot of my friends and people who I grew up with, they were still mentally children. And I really felt like I had grown into a man really quickly.
And there's some people that go the other way though. You know, I've interacted with some people that have served that they feel like they're owed something because they served.
I had a friend like that too. The last band I was in, the drummer, this is back when I was still on Facebook. It was Veterans Day, and he changed his picture on Facebook to like him in uniform. And I was like, yuck, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just proud of my service. Like, you look like you're fishing for likes, homie.
Right.
This is disgusting.
Yeah. And I
by the way, he was not like knee deep in rice paddies and shooting Charlies. I mean, he was in the army band playing the trumpet or whatever.
Yeah.
This is, there's nothing really to be proud of.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with being proud of the training, right?
Sure.
You went through training, and if you did serve through a war, you know, that can be traumatic for some people. You know, like, you have a friend that you meet.
Oh, I'm speaking of this one person in particular. Look, mad respect.
Yeah, man.
I'm just me personally. I don't need to be thanked for things that I didn't participate in. Or that I don't need credit where credit is not due.
That's why you're my friend.
Right.
Momentarily, ladies and gentlemen, our guest will indeed be a former drill instructor who hopes to march his way into San Jose and perhaps march over one Tito Santana.
San Jose, where the men are men, and so are the women. You know, I've never been to San Jose, but I understand it gets a little wet. Well, I hope that it's a sunny day, because I don't want anyone to miss what I've got in store for Tito Santana. I know you're a great wrestler, Tito Santana. I know that you like to beat Sergeant Slaughter so you can climb up the ladder to success. Well, it's going to cost you a lot to start climbing on this ladder, because I'm not an easy step. And Tito Santana, to beat you would be a feather in my hat and would put me a little bit closer to the champion, whoever it may be. I don't care, Tito Santana, about you or San Jose or anybody, because I made myself. I'm my own man. And I did it over in Vietnam the way I wanted to do it. And that's the way I'm going to do it right here in San Jose. My way. Sergeant Slaughter's way, the only way.
Like, honestly.
Sure.
That's definitely why you're my friend, because you're an honest person, where there's other people that would just, they would have the exact same experience that you did, like your buddy that played the trumpet.
Right.
Right. And then they would fly a flag of, look at what I did for you. Right. Right? You know, and it's like, I don't need the martyrdom, right. You know, like it's, and I have friends that have seen some really serious shit though. And they've come back impacted by what they were put through and things of that nature. So before anyone thinks that I am not somebody that appreciates the people that have done a lot, that is not the case.
No.
However, you don't need to walk around like you have a chip on your shoulder because you made a decision to sign up for something and you participated in something that you willingly did. Being drafted is a different story.
Sure.
Right? You know, so.
Whew, hey, look, I think if you
this
went
is heavy.
If you did if you did combat,
yeah, man.
Bro, everyone should tip their cap to you.
Yeah.
I don't get to say those stories.
But you did jump out of parachutes.
Well, I mean,
or out of helicopters.
I should say, I don't want to lie about stuff. I got to tell you, I have been involved in some things. Military wise, mm-hmm. But I don't talk about it because I don't need to be, I just don't need to talk about it.
And then I'll shut up about it.
Or well, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying I don't want to lie. I don't want to allude that nothing ever went down. But the point is I'm just not a fan of overly patriotic, the sentiment of it, not the people, because the truth is it really doesn't matter. You know, if you were born in Beirut, you'd be proud to be from Beirut.
Yes, sir.
If you were born in Kentucky, you'd be proud to be from Kentucky. It has nothing to do with you. I've never been proud of my Irish heritage or any number of things. If it's something that I didn't have a hand in, accomplishing, you know what I mean?
Now,
the same time, I put out a bunch of records and I put a lot of work into those fucking things.
And you should be proud of those.
And I certainly am. In fact, if I feel that someone else is getting credit for shit, I mean, I'll be like, yeah, I mean, one of those last albums I put out, other people were getting credit for that shit in the band. And I'm not to harp on them. I love them. But look, I put in a lot of work on that shit and it really upset me. So I don't want credit for shit I didn't do. I do want credit for shit that I really did.
And that's another thing too, is that, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel a little bit and I don't think there's anything wrong in being proud of where you come from or things of that nature, but I hold more value in the fact of, for instance, there is a new student at Future Stars of Wrestling. His name is AJ and I've been taking AJ to the gym. Right. And I'm proud to see his progress because it's something that we are both doing together and we are working together. Now, I can't be proud of, like, I'm not going to be proud of like my skin color. I'm not going to be proud of being, but you get what I'm saying. Like, why would you? You're just born that way.
Well, right? I mean, it leads into a deeper, socioeconomical conversation, so I'll steer it away.
Yes.
I mean, look, Cain Velasquez has, what is it?
Brown Pride.
Brown Pride.
So does Danny Rose, who is a student at Future Stars of Wrestling.
Right.
Member of the Suavecitos.
Some things are cooler or okay to have for certain people and not okay for other people to have.
Be proud of the things that you do, not the things that you're just automatically gifted with.
Well, I think it's a good way to keep yourself honest, right? Yes. It's a good way to go, you know, to set a goal for yourself and go, I want to do this. You know, I want to accomplish this thing and then go about doing it. And don't fucking reward yourself until you do it. And, you know, if you're getting tattoos of things that you didn't really accomplish, you just happen to be a thing. All right. That's a thing. But, what do you expect? A high five from me? You ain't going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose I'm just stingy with my high fives.
Yeah, man. I'm not giving that out willy nilly. You got to work for that shit, cousin.
That's right. Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes.
How do you feel about Sergeant Slaughter?
I feel like anyone listening to this needs to actually go back and watch Sergeant Slaughter, because
how far back?
I would say at least just his main run, and you can go back even further. But he actually was a really unique wrestler. He takes a turnbuckle to the chest, but he does it while catapulting himself towards the turnbuckle, not like Bret Hart, right? He like Supermans into it, and he hits the buckle so hard, and I have never seen anybody take a turnbuckle like him. And I've seen variations of him taking turnbuckles, but if anyone could emulate that today, my goodness, would you have something that would stand out?
How bad does that hurt, taking that turnbuckle pad in the bird cage?
A lot.
Yeah. I have to imagine, especially like Bret Hart, because I'm surprised he didn't have more concussions than he did, because he would go at full tilt into those things.
Well, and he would also take guardrails crazy too. Like he would be on the ring apron, somebody would hit the ropes, and I remember he cracked his sternum on a guardrail one time. And I've attempted to try to take heart buckles. I can't do it.
I'm telling you, for people who don't know, they think that concussions are caused because, you know, you hit your head or whatever. No, your brain smacks against the inside of your skull at a velocity that it shouldn't.
Yes.
And that could be caused by you coming to a full stop at a certain velocity. And so imagine that. Bret Hart running from one corner to another at a full sprint and hitting flush. So he's trying to take the damage in the safest way possible, but his brain is smacking the front side of his skull at full blast.
Absolutely.
You know,
and who's to say that maybe because of the concussion that he did sustain against Goldberg resulted in a stroke, you know, like pro wrestlers, have a lot of really undiagnosed situations that are going on.
Sure.
And I'm sure that Hart had more than enough concussions, but back then there was this, you got this payday, brother, right? And you can't let people know that you're hurt, because if you let people know that you're hurt, they'll give you time off and someone's going to come and take your spot.
Right. Well, that was the business model.
And it was. And hopefully and thankfully, here's one thing that I will sing the praises of today's day and age for, and especially in companies like WWE and their wellness policy, they are trying to prevent things from happening, and they are screening their wrestlers for any injury. Right. And sometimes it does suck. I've had friends who I won't mention on the air because it's not my story to tell. But I've had friends that have gone and have had WWE contracts. They get injured during training and then they end up getting cut because they weren't able to cross the threshold of making themselves valuable.
Sure. I mean, that stuff still happens today.
It does. But there are some people like Seth Rollins, if you injure yourself, you get a whole entire documentary about your rehab.
Well, you know, it's, you know, you have to think of it like when I was a kid, speaking of Sergeant Slaughter, me and my buddies, we used to do the G.I. Joe draft. I don't know if anybody else did this, but you would take all of your G.I. Joes. You and your buddy would get all of your G.I. Joes. There's Professor Mindbender there.
Yes.
You got Serpentor and Destro and the barbecue. And you'd get them all together, and then you go, okay, maybe you flip a coin to see who goes first. But then you have the draft, and you go, I want the fridge. I want Cobra Commander. You know, you just start rattling them up one after the other. You start getting them. You know, those high draft picks, they're the ones you're going to put the most investment in.
Yes.
You know, it may not make sense to the average wrestling fan, but that's the people that Vince McMahon is putting time and money into. And if someone gets hurt, yeah, we'll move along. We'll keep a spot open because this guy's really talented and he does everything that I ask him to.
Right.
Some people, they might just miss a window of opportunity.
Yes.
And if they get injured, well, that's that, and try again maybe down the road.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame because it's, you know, for the longest time, there were only so many positions to be filled.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, it's crushing to be in this industry, to work for so long, to get to that position and then to have it basically taken away from you because it's not really your choice. You know, Nigel McGuinness.
Yes.
Think about what could have happened if he lied about, you know, Bryan Danielson lied about his concussions, his physical that he had when he was, you know, being hired, and ended up being hired. And I think Nigel McGuinness, I think, had hepatitis B or yes. something years prior, and that was enough for them. He could have just lied and went, oh, my liver enzymes are down. I know about this a little bit too much because I had hepatitis B in 1995 for a summer. Like, you know, he could have just went like, oh, I don't know. What a great summer. I should just take some vitamin D and should be all right. I suppose he could have lied too, but no, he didn't. He told the truth. And that was that. That was a wrap on him and basically his career. Because he didn't want to take steps backward, and basically all that Ring of Honor stuff really started to stack up on him.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
It is, but it's something that, you know, injuries are something that you have to be honest about, because look at Paul Orndorff, right?
What about Paul Orndorff?
Paul Orndorff ended up tearing his bicep, if I remember correctly.
Mr. Wonderful?
Yes, sir. And then he decided, instead of getting surgery, that he had to take a program with Hulk Hogan. And then later on in his career, his muscle had atrophied to the point to where it looked like he almost had a midget arm.
Oh, like Gene Okerlund?
Yes. And in his WCW run, he was deformed.
Really?
Yes, he was.
I suppose I didn't pay much attention to it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah, it was a different time.
Yes.
You could not, if you were sick or anything, it's the show must go on, and yeah, you don't want to miss your opportunity. So and that's why those guys fucking worked 300 plus days a year, which is preposterous, not only for the time, just also because of now.
And that's the thing that I think that AEW is doing right. You know, it does suck not seeing your favorite wrestler on TV all the time. However, these guys are able to recover. And these guys are able to be healthy, right?
Well, I think there needs to be a little bit of a middle ground.
Yeah.
300 dates is ridiculous. And God bless Scott Hall and Kevin Nash knew that.
Yes.
You know, they made the same money as Sting for half the time. Smart businessmen.
Yes.
300 is too much, but 52 almost seems... Well, it's not 52 for these guys. We'll say it's 26. You know, what do you think the average record for most of their performers were last year?
Somewhere under 30.
Right.
Yes.
That's how many matches they had in a year. I think that's not enough.
Right.
You know, it's a craft and a skill, and it needs to be worked on.
Yes.
And if you only got 30 cracks in a whole year, it might be a little rusty.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to come in the middle somewhere.
Definitely not 300.
No.
Definitely more than 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 sounds healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
And cap it at a nice 100.
Sure. I mean, you got to get your reps in.
1,000% you do. And I agree with that too.
You know, imagine there's two light guys today. Let's call them Nick and Steve Jackson. What's the other guy's name?
Nick and Matt.
Matt, Nick and Matt Jackson, they're young and they're coming up today. They're not going to be able to put in the reps to come up with all that wild horseshit that they do, technically do today. You know what I mean? You're not going to see those elaborate luchadors anymore with the amount of work that these cats are getting.
Right.
It's got to be something more.
It's one of the reasons why I've always prioritized training. You know, this week I will have three in-ring days this week, right? And one of the reasons we're actually filming this podcast a little bit earlier, because I have Thursday, if I have a show on the weekend, we're going over techniques.
Yeah.
Right? I ain't booked for WrestleMania weekend, y'all. And we are going to kill each other. And it is going to be conditioning, and it is going to be drills, and it is going to be hard.
Right.
Because I know that I'm going to be able to have the recovery time on the weekend just because I don't have anything, which I made a choice not to be the 300th wrestler that tries to go and get on one of the 70 shows
right.
that's taking place, right? Like, don't...
Where is it at? Texas? This should show you how much I know about WWE anymore. I'm not even sure where it's at.
Yes, it's...
Oh, yeah, of course it's in Texas. Kevin Owens is yelling at Stone Cold, is
yes.
he not?
Yes, he is. So, I made that decision to where I'm not going to stress myself with travel with not a guarantee of anything in the world.
Right.
Right? I'm going to train my ass off on Thursday, and then Friday is going to be a rest day. Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to hit the gym as hard as I possibly can, and then I'm going to lather, rinse, repeat that on Monday. And then I do have two matches. I have a match on the 8th and a match on the 9th of April. So, and those are ones for Big Valley Wrestling and ones for Future Stars of Wrestling. So, you know, I'm always prioritizing my ring time because I don't get the benefit of being booked the way that other people are booked right now.
Right.
Sometimes I have really busy months, right? This month, not so busy, right? And I'm going to take advantage of that time by still spending it in a fucking wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's, and for any of the young heads listening out here, y'all need to understand that training is invaluable. It is invaluable. You get to stay sharp. That's the whole point. Now, granted, bump cards and things like that, I get it. I understand it. I'm a little bit slower getting up, right? Nowadays. However, I need to be in a ring as often as I possibly can.
President Saddam Hussein, get down in Kuwait. He conquered Kuwait. He conquered Kuwait. And his name overnight became a household word around the world.
Disgusting, General. Sergeant.
What the general said is that it is such a great pleasure that a man such as Saddam Hussein would take the time to send to me, Sergeant Slaughter, a special gift.
All right.
Yep.
Curiosity up now, Sergeant. What?
Oh! Oh, look at those boots.
Look at Saddam Hussein has said to me.
What nice pair of boots.
What a gift! President Saddam Hussein! I, Sergeant Slaughter, pledge that my career will follow your lofty standards. Just as you conquered Kuwait, I, Sergeant Slaughter, will wear these boots. I will wear your gift, and I will conquer the World Wrestling Federation champion, the Ultimate Warrior, at the Royal Rumble in Miami, Florida, January. I can see it now, poop face. President Saddam Hussein in the middle, General Adnan on the right, and I, Sergeant Slaughter, the new World Wrestling Federation champion on the left. Two conquering heroes taking their rightful place in history.
conquering heroes taking their rightful place in history?
You know, if I were in your shoes, I wish I would own one.
Yes.
You know, it should be something that you're, you know, for me, it's playing guitar. I'm always trying to stay sharp at guitar because I never know when I need to do something. I've spent my last two evenings staying up till 4 a.m. playing, recording music. So I got those calluses built up. I can get it done.
Yes, sir.
I bet if you had your way, you would have a house with a wrestling ring and a barn.
And it's pretty close because thankfully I have a key and I live down the street from Future Stars of Wrestling. So I have access to a wrestling ring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And it's pretty close. But if it ever turned into a situation where that was not an option, I would have to look into buying a ring for sure. 1,000%.
I'm going to take it back to Sergeant Slaughter.
Just, please.
Just to insert some wrestling into this conversation. You know, there, I don't remember much from AWA. Because I don't really think that he was Sergeant Slaughter then. He might have been a little bit, but it was not the gimmick wasn't over. I mean, I believe he became Sergeant Slaughter when he got to the WWF.
Yes.
I could be wrong on that. But that match that he had with Pat Patterson, which is, you know, when people go Sergeant Slaughter, they go, oh, yeah, that match with Pat Patterson. There, you brought up the fact that he takes the turnbuckle in the chest, but he jumps and essentially dives into it, so to speak.
He lawn darts himself. It's incredible.
In this match, I'm going to spoil the magic a little bit. That's where he gigs himself. He's got magic fingers, this guy.
Yes.
it's pretty fascinating to watch in real time. You know, he gave it his. It wasn't as bad as Lou Albano versus who's it? Superfly, who in the middle of the ring pulls out a razor and just starts raking his. No, not poking, raking. I mean, like, boom, 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 like over and over. It was disgusting. Like, yo, in full view of everyone.
Yep.
Like, Lou, what are you doing?
Yep.
Super Mario has lost his goddamn mind. it was very sweet to see. I mean, we know how the fudge is made a little bit here. So, you know, he dives into it and he hits that post and does it very quickly. And then into the tights it goes before he's face down on the mat.
Yep.
Very quick. Very nicely done.
Skillfully done.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he comes up, he's juicing, brother.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this guy's got color like no other.
Yes.
And he's fucking just coming apart, and then Pat Patterson works him open for what seems like another 30 minutes.
Yes.
God damn, what a bloody affair.
Yes, it was. And, I mean, it was a different day and age.
I shouldn't have brought that shit up with you in the room. Why? I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
I like to keep that air of respectability between, you know, dumb and person who knows everything.
Yeah, well, here's the thing though.
If it's obvious, then it's not my fault.
Well, but no, like, so I can't protect the business any more than Jim Cornette has exposed it.
Sure.
Because he's not alone.
Let's not pick on him.
And not just on him, but all these things have been brought to light, you know, and a lot of people know how it's done. You know, it was actually interesting to talk about because there was a little tiny documentary that my friend's daughter Annie put together for a community college course for film and editing, and she was given the task of doing I believe a 10-minute documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up having to actually make a 15-minute, I believe, because there was just so much footage.
Sure.
And there was a show that she came to, and I went into some fine details about some stuff because there was things that happened on the card.
You were interviewed in this documentary?
Yes.
You're not putting this in a good line from A to B. What was it about?
It was just about wrestling.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah,
it was just on wrestling. And she followed me for a day, and I had to teach somebody how to get color, which I am not going to go into detail about. And Annie, I'm sorry that I couldn't air I couldn't share that documentary because I
when she finished it, she said, what do you think? And you said, you can't air this.
No, and I made a decision not to share it. I didn't tell her that she couldn't air it. She showed it to her class.
I see.
Right? And for anyone in that class, they were able to find out how it's done. And I just can't publicly share that, though.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't think that you should. I mean, it shouldn't go into great detail. There are very few tricks left. I mean, there's still a great deal. But
and it was funny because I consulted Lazarus. Lazarus was one of the wrestlers at Future Stars of Wrestling, a really dear friend of mine. He said, maybe don't show this. Right. Yeah. And he was right. He was absolutely right.
Well, look, it's the, what's that movie? The Prestige. And yes. I think I probably brought it up in the first season of our show, but Christian Bale says something to another character. I forget what, but he does a magic trick and the person's like, and he goes, let me show you how it's done. And then he shows them and then he goes, and then he gives them the gimmick. And then he goes, don't tell anyone, because once they know, they don't need you anymore.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is. Magic, stage magic and professional wrestling have a lot in common.
Which is crazy, because coming from somebody that was a stage magician, right, there is many...
Not me, you.
Yeah, me. Being, for those that don't know... there was a moment in time that I was working on a European cruise line doing a magic show, and I played kind of the role of a clown, but I did some basic magic. Right. And there's some very strong similarities, but then there's some very stark differences. Very stark. One of the challenges is I had to perform a trick that was so absurd that it was hard to sell as real, right?
I'm dying to hear this, if you can tell it.
It's called a shadow box.
Okay.
And the illusion, I can tell you what the illusion is, but I cannot tell you how the illusion is done.
That's fine. Okay? Is this the series of boxes where your head's over here and your feet are over there?
Not necessarily. Okay. No, that's the saw, right?
Okay. But there's different versions.
There is.
Penn and Teller have a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And where they completely expose it when they do it.
Of course they do.
Which, I mean, it's part of the act where there's a whole, like, Teller gets down. There's a basically like a, 2 feet underneath the stage and a dolly. And he lies on it and he comes out and pops out of the boxes as he's required to.
Yes.
That's pretty fun to watch.
So this... It's a gigantic box, and then I levitate it.
Okay.
And then eventually it starts moving on its own, and I start producing things out of the box that correlate with the rest of the show. And the music cues were out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
My old boss, who I should not name because she is a famous female magician, and I'm not going to name her. She doesn't deserve that. She didn't know the difference between, different whistles. If I'm walking,
like a slide whistle and a dog whistle.
So now if you're walking down the street,
yes.
And if you hear,
right.
What is that? What is that whistle to you?
That's a grown man telling me my keister looks nice.
Okay.
By the way, thanks, buddy.
Now, if you were walking and let's say you're my child and we're going to the grocery store and all of a sudden you go down an aisle and I can't find you and you hear, what would that tell you?
Sorry, I was distracted by you blowing directly into a microphone.
My apologies.
To come here, I guess, or I'm looking for you.
Okay. She did not know the difference between those.
Well, maybe she doesn't get hit on a lot.
Yeah. Well, regardless.
Maybe she doesn't have a nice backside. I'm just trying to make sense.
I couldn't necessarily say that, but she did not. She put sound effects in this thing that did not fit with the act. Mm-hmm. And then it became my problem because she said, well, this isn't a believable performance from you and you have to treat this like it was real. And the thing is she tried to correlate, this is no different than wrestling. Okay. But the difference in wrestling is that wrestling emulates or should emulate an actual fight.
Right.
That's what it should emulate. And it's very easy for me to be a pro wrestler and emulate an actual fight because I've been in an actual fight.
Right.
But I am not going to use the wrong whistle in a certain area. And that was essentially the problem with the act. Right. So it's just funny that you mentioned that. I actually, for the first time in a very long time today, I actually went back and watched some of my magic stuff.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's interesting because they both come from the same world to a certain extent.
They're absolutely
carny AF.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, a lot of the terminology, gimmicks and shit like this, you know, it's a lot the same. But let's swing it back to Sergeant Slaughter. I keep doing this because we keep spinning wildly off. So Sergeant Slaughter comes to the WWF and is this hyper patriotic character. And, you know, he gets the USA chance.
Yes.
And that becomes a type for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And he would go on to use it for many people.
Hulk Hogan, Jim Duggan.
Yep.
You know, like names, I'm sure there's more of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But those are the big three.
Yes. But what about the people that they're chanting that against?
Yeah.
All the, who's the manager? Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Fuji.
You know, these sort of stereotypical characters from, you know, outside the land.
Yes. And if you were a foreigner, you were just evil. It was very easy for Baron Von Raschke to be a villain.
Sure.
Because he wasn't on our team.
Well, he was a Nazi after all.
Yeah. And for good reason with the Heat brother, you know. But back then, that was just one of the easiest things that you could do
right.
to generate heat is let's have Baron Von Raschke. Let's have the Iron Sheik. You know, let's have Nikolai Volkov.
Right.
It was very easy because, as you said, wrestling goes with the times. And there was these huge periods of time when our country was at war with these other countries.
Right.
So was it ever in good taste?
You know, I don't think anybody at the time would complain about it.
Nobody would.
Because right. I'll tell you, it is fun to boo when Nikolai Volkov goes out there and goes, I'm going to sing the national anthem. Everyone stand up and show some respect. Deutsche Weiske, all yep. that stuff. And it's like, this guy's great. I know it's easy. I know it's low hanging fruit, but it's fun. I wonder what the low hanging fruit today is. Is it maybe that's just the high spots?
The thing is that in today's day and age, there's a little bit more of a sensitivity mm-hmm. to these things because we should have become more diverse as a culture.
Well, we are. We are much more diverse and multicultural.
Yes.
That is the great part about America, but it's also it's burdened that with multi diversity, that's not a great word, with that mix of cultures, you're bound to get people who hate other cultures.
Right. And that's the unfortunate thing. And I think the last time that WWE kind of put this on television was Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger. And for some reason, it became like this super over thing. It was a really weird period of time. The We the People stuff.
I mean, I think what's the weirdest thing to me is that Dutch Mantel is a legend in the industry. And I had to act like his name was Zeb Coulter for a couple of years.
Yes. Yes.
This obvious homage to asshole pundits,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone knows who Ann Coulter is. I mean, this bitch, she's dumb as fuck and her books are terrible.
Yes.
And I don't even think she believes half the shit that mm-hmm. she says or writes about.
She's saying it because she understands that there's going to be people that are going to buy it.
Exactly.
Because if you sell to idiots, they're going to buy it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so here comes Zeb. Zeb, where'd they come up with that goddamn name?
No clue.
Zeb Coulter coming out yelling at Mexicans or whatever.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Jack Swagger, the most ill-named wrestler in history. A guy with no swagger, and his real name's not Jack anyway.
Yeah.
He's the most out-of-place character ever, right? He had that sort of Rage Against the Machine song. It doesn't. He don't feel like a Rage Against the Machine type of character.
I wish there was a period of time where I saw that Jack Swagger could have done it. And it was this brief window. And then I don't know what happened.
He got caught with the weed.
Oh. And today...
I saw this. I know what you're going to say.
Big news, right?
I don't know that it's news. It's a magically weed or marijuana or THC or whatever it is has been magically removed from the very public WWE wellness policy. So good on them. I mean, they had to stop. There's a lot of stuff they have to stop turning a blind eye to.
Yes.
Like, everyone knows what fucking Matt Riddle's about.
Yeah.
You know,
he has a psychobilum mushroom tattooed on his fucking body.
Yeah. On his ribs for yes. everyone to see.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that these wrestlers, I'm willing to bet the lion's share of them do it.
Once again, because we've talked about it on air before, and just to bring it up, marijuana has a
stigma.
It does.
But it's not illegal. So get over it.
And eventually...
That's coming from me, someone who hasn't smoked since he was a teenager.
And coming from somebody that smoked weed last night.
Right.
Okay. So I swapped out alcohol for marijuana.
Sure.
And my life has... It's helped. It's really helped. It's helped me go to sleep. It's helped me with pain management, right? I would like to think that I don't do it in excess. I know I'm not a wake and baker, and I don't get so high that I just melt into a couch and then don't do my daily activities.
Yeah, you're too proactive.
Yeah, and I take care of myself. And there have been times, like, if I'm sore before I go to the gym, I will use a little bit of marijuana in order to relax my muscles and then go and work out. Right. So the stigma that this has, as opposed to...
It's self-imposed.
It, 1,000%.
It's been illegal for our entire lives, and now it's not.
Yes.
That's fine. It doesn't mean I need to spark up now, but no. Eventually I'll get older, and maybe I'll be in some sort of pain or discomfort, and that'll be the way I go. And by the way, you don't have to use it medicinally. It's just legal across the board. So go out and get it if it's your bag. For me, I like keeping a clear head.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. And it's just something that I feel like
the WWE's several years too late.
1,000%. They're
think about fucking Rob Van Dam having to give up that title.
Yeah.
That ECW title. Cause he got, pulled over with weed in the car.
And him and Sabu. And
how many people? Didn't Duggan and the Iron Sheik get the...
They had more than weed.
Yeah.
They had a lot more than weed.
They had some of that brother sauce.
Oh my goodness. Man, there's some crazy stories about that.
Earlier this week, my colleague Mean Gene Okerlund, on a special assignment, filed this report.
What did Hogan use here?
What's Hogan here?
Sergeant Slaughter, you've been in seclusion now for well over a month. In my travels around the country, there isn't a person who doesn't agree that you got what you deserved at SummerSlam. As a matter of fact, I think you got exactly what you deserved during that match made in hell.
You're right. I got exactly what I deserved at that match made in hell at SummerSlam. When I reflect back, what I wanted to become, the World Wrestling Federation champion. I didn't care who I associated with. The scum of the earth, the slime, the sleaze. It didn't matter who I chummed with. I wanted to become the World Wrestling Federation champion at all cost. I didn't care about my family anymore. I didn't care about my friends anymore. I didn't care about my country. I turned my back on my country. I wanted to become the World Wrestling Federation champion. I was blind by ambition. I didn't care what or who or why I had to do what I did. I stepped on everyone. But you don't know what it's like to be in hell, because I do. When I lost the World Wrestling Federation Championship, I lost a title, a symbol, but more importantly, I lost self-respect. I lost self-esteem. I lost my family. I lost my friends. But most important is I lost my country. I don't blame my friends for never wanting to speak to me again. I've lost them. There's nothing I can do about that. I don't expect my family to ever forgive me for what I did. I have to live with that. I don't expect anybody to look at Sergeant Slaughter and say, "Oh, we're sorry, Sergeant Slaughter. I deserve exactly what I got." But there's one thing above all those things I just spoke of that I want, and I want it real, real bad. And that is, I want my country back.
All those dudes back in the 80s, fucking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing, and I don't remember the source, so I guess take it with a grain of salt, because it's been a long time since I heard it, but it's like, yeah, Jim Neidhart was smoking crack with Jake the Snake and Davey Boy. It's like, what? Yep. Davey Boy was smoking crack?
Yeah.
Crack!
Yeah. And that's it's a shame, because people are going to do hard drugs if they want, whether it's legal or not. But I feel like if...
Yo, don't.
Marijuana, after a match, my adrenaline pumps crazy. After a hard day of training, my adrenaline pumps crazy. And if I don't do something to try to calm my nerves, I will stay up for an entire day. And then the next day is ruined. I can't do anything that I need to do because I'm in a brain fog, and then I end up having to take 3 or 4 naps throughout the day, which then fucks up my sleep pattern, right? Like I go home, I smoke, or I take an edible, and I'm fine. And I'm able to go to bed.
Welcome, folks, to the High Times Podcast. I'm your host, far out Timothy Styles. Good Lord, I keep going back to Sergeant Slaughter. Utter. You spin off into the wildest shit, magic and mushrooms.
Yeah.
And good Lord.
We're playing ping pong today, baby.
Good grief.
We're in a pinball machine.
My Lord. Dare I say it again? I'm going to try to swing back to Sergeant Slaughter.
I will stay on topic.
I mean, why bother? It's part of our charm. I actually saw a review of our podcast. I just happened to stumble on it on, I think, Apple. And it said, these guys ramble and go on, I think the word was rants or something, or tangents. Tangents was used. But they always turn it back into pro wrestling. And they gave it 5 stars. So whoever that fella is, thank you very much.
High five to you.
At least he understands. I mean, I put it right out there. What do you want? A fucking another recap show where I tell you what happened on NXT?
No, we got a fantasy book, brother. Oh. We got a fantasy book, which is what Boogie Mania is for. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter.
A few years ago, it wasn't that long ago, it came out, you know, it's a new era where something happens and then everyone talks about it on the internet for days on end till they get distracted by whatever the next thing is. But it came out that Sergeant Slaughter's military record was in question. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do actually. Oh, fuck. I do remember this.
And people, there were people who were legitimately upset that he might have never been in the Marines.
Yeah. And you also do realize that John Cena, when he was in the fucking Marine, was not an actual fucking Marine.
Or the fact that you can see him.
Yes. At all. It's incredible.
I see him everywhere. Yeah. Every time he's on camera, well, there he is. Yeah, but isn't that crazy that people are like, well, he was so good at keeping kayfabe that people just bought it because he just goes around with that Marine Corps drill sergeant hat on at all times that people just like, yeah, of course. Well, he's a sergeant.
George the Animal still wasn't a Neanderthal and his tongue wasn't actually green either, guys. He didn't actually eat the turnbuckle. He just tore it to shreds. That's all that it is.
He probably got a little bit in there.
Just a little bit. It's lots of fiber out here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I suppose I thought about it at the time. I was like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's wrestling.
Right. Well, look, I understand. The problem is that the guy looked like, from somebody who's been in the military, he looks like a drill sergeant.
Oh, absolutely.
As somebody who's been in the military, he talks like a drill sergeant.
Yes.
I don't know where he got that act down. I remember him, he used to use some lines from like Apocalypse Now and stuff like that from some of the earlier scenes before, you know, Colonel Kurtz steps in. But he had that rap down pretty impressively.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not a surprise that people would be like, what? He wasn't really in the Marines?
Well, it's not an issue of stolen valor, right? So
yeah, that was the combination of words that they were using, and grow the fuck up.
Yeah, and it's no different than any... it's just so strange how wrestling can tie its way into anything, but not everything can tie its way into wrestling. But a similar thing to bring up is like, a Hollywood actor that's cast in a military movie, nobody's questioning them. No, and it's, I don't think that Sergeant Slaughter ever actually went and like,
I think that there's a difference.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Please, please.
There's just a difference between film and pro wrestling. And that's brought on by the carny origins of pro wrestling, and particularly the sociopaths that ran it for 50 plus years.
Yeah.
The kayfabe was something that was, pretty sacred, and, it was not to be broken. And if anyone gave you any shit, you made an example out of them. Crazy, you know, it's crazy people doing crazy shit to protect their business because, you know, at the time they felt that one little thing could fucking ruin any territory.
Yeah.
It could be a person, it could be a thing that happened, but what they didn't understand, because they were, a lot of them were very short-minded, is that fucking everyone knew wrestling was full of shit, and they'd known since the beginning.
Yes.
That's why you don't see the results of the fucking matches in the newspaper. It's obvious. We just think it's fun.
Yes.
You don't have to act like a crazy goddamn maniac and show up to the town a day early and get into fist fights with whoever the tough guys are, you know, to prove it.
That does sound fun, though. I'm joking.
Well, it revolves around you. I always like that. I always use that as an example of, I like the concept of kayfabe light. Everyone understands what pro wrestling is, but I, as a wrestler, I require you to actually pretend. Now, but I don't require you to show up to town a day early and go to the local watering hole and start punching out the toughest drunks. And then when the cops are dragging you off, you yell, if you want a piece of me, I'll be at the Coliseum tomorrow night. Like, that's a bridge too far.
I think I have a new angle. I have a new way to get over. I'm going to start doing this.
Kayfabe man.
Yeah, kayfabe man.
I'm surprised that's not a wrestling gimmick. Some of the gimmicks I've seen over the last few years, I'm surprised there's not a guy called kayfabe man.
Let's make him. We're making it right now.
What is Kayfabe Man? What's his deal?
He only actually hits people.
Oh yeah.
He throws
Terry Funk punches.
Yeah, he's just throwing potatoes.
Yeah.
Left and right. Okay.
And when he cuts promos, he's just shooting. He's just airing real shit.
Yep. And going on about things that nobody cares about. But
and then when you go up to him in the back, you go, "Hey, man, I told you that shit about my girlfriend's yeast infection in confidence."
Yes.
He can go, "Bro, I'm just trying to sell tickets. Kayfabe, hey, brother."
And I think that it would be even more hilarious if like he actually just pretended not to get. So Kayfabe Man in my eyes was what Jim Carrey did as Andy Kaufman.
Right.
They just have a wrestler that actually in the back and in the front, like is treating it like it's real. What do you mean you want to talk to me about what the finish is? Like, oh my goodness. I think that like, I'm just going to take advantage of just going to like a really small promotion and then actually being Kayfabe Man.
Yeah. You got to book yourself.
Yes. It'll be absolutely brilliant.
There's a scene in that movie, Man on the Moon, where, Shapiro, who's Kaufman's manager, he gets a phone call and someone's like, "Hey, I want to book Tony Clifton." And Shapiro has to say, "You sure you don't want Andy Kaufman?" And he goes, "Oh, no, the kids love me." He goes, "Just so we're clear, you're getting this guy and not this guy." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." You know, has this ever happened? I mean, I guess that's a silly way to put it. Do you have a menu? I guess you don't, because I know that you're just cutthroat Cody Hancock.
Yes.
But are there any wrestlers out there who have a menu? And when someone calls to book them, they can go, "Oh, who do you want? Steve Steverson?"
Yes.
Or Buck Rogers.
But the thing is in order to protect kayfabe, there's actually somebody in town that actually has multiple gimmicks.
Really?
Yes, and I just can't say who it is.
Well, that's fine. But it's not like it's like he's doing it in different territories, right?
Yes.
You know, here he's, he's TJ Too Nasty. And then when
TJ Too.
Sorry, that was an old nickname.
Oh, my.
Of my
please,
own.
Please. Please. That is the best self-appointed nickname I have ever heard in my life.
It was not self-appointed. I would not call myself TJ Too Nasty.
How did you earn the name TJ Too Nasty?
Good, bro. I'm nasty.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devo Looter production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music provided by Timothy Styles. For more information, go to turnbuckleboogie.com. And for booking information on Cutthroat Cody Hancock, go to cutthroatcody.com. See you next Monday.